Praise the Lord. Huh? Good to see you all. Great. I've been thinking a lot about who am I submitted to? Why am I submitted? I've been thinking about how easy it is to live an unsubmitted life where I'm submitted to the wrong thing. How easy it is to be submitted in my heart to the wrong thing or not submitted at all. And here we have a great verse, Psalm 119 in verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? How could a young man get straightened out? What do you think? How could a young man get straightened out? How could he cleanse his way? How could he be changed? Verse 9, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we've come together this morning to hear the word of God and be submitted to God and his word. And this cleanses us. In the Old Testament, they would have the furniture for worship, and one of the pieces of furniture was a bath, a laver filled with water. And the first thing, the priest would come in and he would wash. It's like in the Catholic Church. Anybody here Catholic or has been? Or, yeah, you go into the church and remember the holy water? You do this when you go in. It's like the washing. Well, this word, the Bible, is water that washes us. Where is that written in the Bible? This is water. The word, the water of the word is Ephesians 5, 26. Christ said it to his disciples, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. So there is a washing, and when there's a submission, and we are submitted. And you've come here. I want to congratulate you. Why don't you kind of turn to your neighbor and say, you did good. You came here this morning. I mean, I congratulate you. High five. Yeah, good job. Yes. What? Okay. All right. You may be seated. One unique verse I'd like you to turn to, one other point relates, 1 Samuel 25. I think this could be a standard verse for our church. I mean, our church, our context for the age we live in, where we are living, 1 Samuel 25. And if you read the story, you know the story, Nabal and Abigail. And Nabal was a real nasty guy. A nasty guy. Have you met any nasty guy? He just is arrogant, talking, critical, unhappy, miserable. That's like this man, Nabal. When David's servants asked for some provisions, Nabal said, who is David? Who is David? I could care less about him. Chapter 25, verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Verse 10, we have it up there? Thank you. There are many servants. This is the part I want you to memorize. There are many servants nowadays who break away each from his master. What does that mean? Many, many people break away from their master. Pardon? Yes, thank you. Yes, that's what it means. a son leaves his father, or an employee breaks away from the employer. In this case, the man Nabal knows David has left Saul. And so it's like a dig. David is not submitted to Saul. He is broken away from his master. And Nabal said, that's happening nowadays very much, that people are breaking away. They're not submitted. We were in Chicago, suburbs of Chicago yesterday, evangelizing in a small city where we have a Greater Grace Church, Pastor Jack Wheatley and the team. And in soul winning, I met some different characters, different kinds of people. And we had a talk, and the doctrine comes to my mind as I'm talking with people. And I'm thinking about their lives, and we care about them to reach them. One man I said on the street at a farmer's market, I said, "Now, you know, we're going to have a talk. Thank you so much for your time and for your willingness to talk," because he was waiting for his wife, and he was happy to have a discussion. And I said, "You know, I don't want my comments to shut down our conversation. I want us to have a conversation, and maybe I can learn something from you." And so we had a nice talk. But it came to a point where I started to say things and left him with something to think about, as he left me with something to think about. And I came away with this verse. I came away with this verse that people are not submitted. And nowadays, a lot of people are not submitted, but they are independent and on their own. And many times they don't know what they're saying, and many times they don't know where it will take them. What they are saying and what they are believing, where does it take them? What is the answer for this? This is in the story. David becomes very angry and decides to go with his small army and get things straightened out. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, came out and met David and said, "Don't do this foolish thing." And she corrected him. He was thankful. He received her counsel. She was a woman. Any of you men receive advice from women? Turn to your neighbor and ask him. No, never mind. I'm joking. Hey, Sarah, obey your husband. How about Jesus with Mary when she broke the box of ointment on Jesus' feet? And the disciples said, "This is a waste." And he said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's done what she could." Many men, we don't know what we are talking about. Many times, we don't know how to cleanse our way. We don't know how to have a changed life. Many women, it's the same thing. And we break away from our master. But in the application of the verse, who should you be submitted to? Yeah? If I want to be submitted to somebody, who will I be submitted to? Many times people are just submitted to their own interests, themselves. I'm submitted to my own ideas, my own way, my own life, what's good for me. But this is too small, because you and I are sinners. And to be a sinner a sinner doesn't know how to live. He doesn't know how to direct his life. A sinner needs to be submitted to somebody else, right? So that'll be our subject today. Amen. God bless you. So good to have you here. How will a young man cleanse his way? How will a person have a changed life? But by giving heed and submitting himself to these words from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Welcome, Pastor Eugene. I just asked him to share a few thoughts with us. We love this guy. Huh? Yeah. Love you.
Okay, wasn't that good? Yeah. It goes right along just meditation I've had the last couple of days. And it's this idea of being led. And we understand, like Pastor said, in this day and age, we can do a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that in those things we are either meeting God or in those things we are being led by God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, this one verse, it says, verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord your God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keepest his commandments or no." And I was just thinking about that. Like if you think about a life, and, you know, when a child is young, it's very easy to lead them. I saw a dad and a young boy, and the young boy was holding his dad's hand crossing the street. And there's a measure of security there. He doesn't know where he's going. He was probably maybe about 7, 8, 9 months old. He didn't understand anything. But one thing he understood was, I'm holding on tightly to my father's hand. And I was just thinking, you know, what about that young man in about 12, 15, 20, 30 years? Is he still holding? Right? And we would say, no, he's an adult. He is going his own way. But that can be dangerous sometimes. And I was just thinking about this thought, like what it means to be led is to be guided. You know, and you think about some of our precious, we have a precious brother who is blind, and he has that stick. And he is tapping, and that stick is his guide. You know, and how important it is in my life as a believer, every day in my heart attitude, to be submitted to God. And Psalm chapter 25, verse 9 says, "The meek he will teach, and the meek he will show his way." And I love how God just wants to guide us. God just wants to lead us. God is actually pleased in leading us. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Don't be led by our own understanding, or even worse, the understanding of the world we live in, which is alienated and separated from the life of God. But isn't it amazing this morning? Like, there were things that were settled in our heart. I'm going to church. Where are you going? I'm going to church. Well, didn't you go to church on Wednesday? I'm going to church. There are issues in our life that God led us to this place. It's an oasis. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where we have family. It's a place where we have joy. It's a place where I get corrected. But it's God's leading, and it's beautiful. And I was just thinking about this thought. He said, like, God leading me for 40 years. And I was thinking about that. Before Moses could lead the children of Israel, God had to lead Moses. And we know in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is at the burning bush, and the bush is burning, and the voice of the Lord speaks to him out of the midst of the bush. Have you thought about lately how God is speaking to you out of situations of life? You know, in your family, in your marriage, at your job, in your neighborhood, God is still speaking. You know, he will use situations and circumstances in our life to speak. And I was thinking about, in closing, these two thoughts. Meekness is my attitude towards God. Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek he will teach. If I have an attitude towards God as like, Lord, I may be X amount of years old, but that doesn't matter. As a little child, I still need to hold on to your hand. I still need to be led by you. Why? I don't get it. I don't get this world. But when I'm holding on to you, you will lead me. Right? Psalm 20, 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is what's so beautiful as the body of Christ. We are being led in a crazy world, crazy times, but we're still holding on to our Father's hand. And he will lead us all the way from the beginning to the day he takes us home. Amen. Father, thank you for these thoughts. Just bless it in Christ's name. Amen.
Turn in your Bibles, please, with me today to Romans chapter 3 for our first point that we'd like to make in our teaching this morning. Romans 3. The book of Romans is a brilliant book written by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, and his mental thought processes are recorded here verse by verse. The Holy Spirit moved in the Apostle Paul in such a way that he understood the gospel very well. I'm not saying that Peter and James and John, who also wrote, they understood the gospel also, but it was Paul that wrote 12 or 13 epistles, depending on if you count the book of Hebrews. But when he wrote the book of Romans, he is thinking internationally, Gentile, pagan people, and Jewish people. And the first couple chapters are making it very clear that no matter who you are, you have a serious problem in your life. You don't even realize how serious that problem is. That problem is our sin nature. We all have it. And he's saying in this chapter 3, he is defining what sin is. I want to start the message this way because I want to bring you to the gospel. I'd like you to understand the gospel very well and understand what it means that we have all sinned. In chapter 3, he is saying Jewish people are also sinners. He says, what does it profit being a Jew? Aren't Jewish people righteous people? Don't they live by the law? Aren't they religious people? Aren't they good people? And he is saying, no, no one is good. None is righteous. This is a very profound teaching in the Bible, and unfortunately, even many Christians don't understand it. It's very important that we have sinned, and we have a sin nature. We have a sin nature, and it's described in a series of verses here from verse 10 to verse 18. This in itself would be a message, or many messages could be spoken or taken from this text, but I just wanted to make a brief comment here. Chapter 3, verse 10, if it's possible for me to do that. There is none righteous, no, not one. It's a general statement about the human race. Many times, as I said, in Chicago area where we were, this man is talking about how good people are. And a homosexual person that he knew was a good person. That's what he said to me. He is a good person. He serves the community and so on. Why would the church not accept him? It's a good question when you don't know or have any reference in the sense that this text is saying there is none good, no, not one. What about a Pharisee or a rabbi or the Pope or a priest or a good man in the community, and I have met many of them, and I'm sure you have. I'm sure we've met professional people, honest people, good people in many fields of society. Well, why does it say there is none good, no, not one? Because this is the mind of God. Your neighbor will say you are good, but I don't care what your neighbor says. What we care about is what God says. What does God say about us? And he says this. So chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is our state. There is none who understands. This is a direct reference to how little we understand about the most important things about life. We don't understand God. We don't know the ways of God. We don't understand really the meaning of things. There's a kind of blindness about us that we have sinned. And the sin has put us in a state of mind and being. And he says, we don't understand. So when Jesus came into the world, the crowd cried out, Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Why? Barabbas was a murderer. Why? Why? He was a criminal. Why? I thought Jesus multiplied food and raised the dead and healed lepers. Yes, but we don't understand. We killed Christ. Of course, we don't understand. We don't know. Many times we don't know how to raise a child. We don't know how to keep a marriage, bless our wife or husband. Many times we don't know how to get up in the morning. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to forgive. You know, we are sinners, so this is the point here. Go to the next verse. It says, there is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. The word unprofitable means not useful. Gone out of the way means we've gone down the wrong road. We have gone the wrong road, and we have become not useful, unprofitable. When I think of the word unprofitable, I think of a junkyard or a salvage depot, or what's that called, the municipal recycling plant or something. I think of a coffee cup from a coffee shop that when I first have the coffee, I want it badly. After I empty the cup is useless. I throw it away, get rid of it. I throw it away. Could a person be thrown away and not useful? Could a whole life be of no value? Could a good man be useless? That's what he's saying. Paul's mind, as he quotes the Old Testament in these portions, thinking of Jewish people who knew the Scripture and could quote the Scripture line upon line and use their own Bible to prove that they are sinners. They are essentially wrong. This is the point. So go to the next portion, please. It says, there is none who does good. That means for God's glory. There's none that does good in the real context, the big picture, the glory of God. Oh, I will do good and donate because of my conscience, but I do not do good for the glory of God. me say, I don't agree with that. Well, that's okay. I'm reading the scripture, and I'm asking you to think in the terms that are very real and not superficial. This is not phony. This is not empty. And by the way, when we evangelize, this has got to be in the evangelism. It has to somehow come around to the point where the person is convicted of their sin. We cannot just say, you know, receive Jesus in India, which we just saw, heard an Indian brother who is doing a great work. But you can just say to somebody in India, receive Jesus, and they say yes. What it means to them is I have 10 or 15 gods at home, and I'll take Jesus. What is he for? Eternal life. I'll take Jesus for eternal life. And I have another god for prosperity, another god for material health and blessing. They love it. They need the blessing. They want the blessing. But when you say Jesus and no other god before you, that's a problem. When you say, receive Jesus and you'll be born again, they love that. Born again many times. A reincarnation. The born again message isn't the best text to use there. Because born again falls on the ears of the Hindu as reincarnation. So the scripture is given to bring us to conviction, to bear upon our hearts the fact, I am wrong. I need help. I am wrong. I am more wrong than I realize. I'm a good man, but I mean, okay, why are you a good man? I'll give you an answer why. Because your life is better if you're a good person. Because if you run a business and you're a good person, it's better for your business. Because if you're in a family and you're a good family, it's better for your family. But what does it have to do with the glory of God? Is your goodness for the glory of God? Are you on the earth living for the glory of God? Do you seek God? The answer is no. Sinners do not seek God. They hide from God. They excuse themselves. They make lies up. They attack life. They accuse God who made the world. By the way, I talked door to door yesterday, and this man said, have you ever seen this Science Channel and on TV? And he goes, do you know that if a star would explode or become a dark black, I don't know what it was, the star burned out, there'd be enough energy to come to this earth and dry up our seas. There'd be no more water on the earth. It would be an inferno, no life, and it would be over. And he said, like God protects us in the universe. It's like a nice thought. It was a good thought from that man. Yeah, it was good. Go to the next verse, please. It says, verse 13. This is the specific. Paul goes from general description of sin and what it is to specific characteristics. And the throat, the tongue, the words that we say, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. Psalm 5:9. The poison of asps is under their lips. One of the changes that happens with our new birth is a changed language. We have another language. We start to bless. One of the changes in our lives is that we hear the word of God that goes into our hearts and spirit, and we start to praise God and love him and seek him and desire him, and we become hungry for the word of life. This is called the word of life in Philippians 2:15. As we hear, it cleanses us. It has an effect on our thoughts, and affecting our thoughts and our hearts, then it affects our mouth, what we say, what's important to us, what is our conversation. Do you know, sometimes conversations go along a certain level, they go along, a certain way, and some are very profane. The word profane means common, unholy, defiled, dirty. Many conversations like, don't bring me anywhere. I mean, just more maybe strife, 2 Timothy 2. Useless conversation, vain babblings, chatter, and talk that is not edifying. Maybe suspicion, like drop a word that raises a question about a person. Maybe slander. He that utters a slander is a fool, it says in Proverbs. So we have a problem here, and it's called our sin nature. When you become a Christian, your sin nature doesn't go away. It's still in our body. It's actually, I believe, it's connected with our physical body. Because when we die as believers, we leave our body. And our body is buried here in the ground, but we leave our body, and it's the first time we will be alive without a sin nature. We will fly away. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, we'll be in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. In Philippians 1 and 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans chapter 14. So, praise God for that day. But while we are here, I have my sin nature that is always available, always there, always a part of my life. But then I have my new nature, and that new nature is Christ. And I have a desire in my heart for the things that are godly, edifying, satisfying, that fill me. Be filled with the Spirit. That holy thing that is born of you is called the Son of God, the angel said to Mary in Matthew chapter 1. You are born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. Born again, not of corrupt seed, but of incorruptible, of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. That Holy Spirit has brought the Word of God to you, and you have heard it and believed, and you've been born of God. Wow. Born of God. That's a spiritual birth. Born of God. So now you're born of God, but at the same time, I have a sin nature. And I realize that that can operate. But I have the teaching and the understanding that Christ overcame my sin nature. My sin nature was crucified with him. And I reckon it dead. I make a calculation. My sin nature is not in charge. It is not running my life. For the cross of Christ has crucified legally. This is important. Legally, it doesn't have the right to control me. What do you mean? Well, it's just like somebody can bring a document, a legal document, to an office or to a judge and say, here it is. And the authority looks at it and makes a judgment based on the document. That's like us. We live this life and we just say, Christ, I died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, but I live. But not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. And the document, in a sense, is presented to God. And he says, this is correct. You have that authority. You are now living another life. You are now living the life you are now living is Christ. And I say, thank you, Lord. That's the truth. This is the truth. This document is actually this Bible, the doctrine that we are bringing before God. And we are submitted to God. Doesn't that relate to what we said? We are submitted to the Word of God. We are believing in what the Word of God is saying. We are embracing it and relating to it. How will a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed to, by being submitted to, by believing in what he has said. Well, how important is this? Very, because my mouth is like a trash can. Why? Because my heart is wicked and deceitful. Why? Why is it important? Because I have a sin nature. Yeah, you and I, yeah, we have a sin nature. What are we going to do about it? Well, I don't like it. I've already done the drill, you know. I've been through the many cycles and rotations of sin. I have sinned very much. I have gone through it in my life. For a week or months or years or decades, I understand what it is. And I don't like it. It is unprofitable. I don't believe I've been made to live like a dog. I believe I've been made to live like more like an angel. I don't believe I've been made to just live out of my guts. I believe, and what is normal and natural and what everybody does. I believe we are called to live another way, another life. Of course, I know. Of course we have. Because in history we read about these people and revivals and works of grace, and we've read about it. And there's a near the church in Elgin, Illinois, a half hour outside of Chicago. There's an adult facility for adults with disabilities, and some of these folks come over to the church, and they eat with us, and they are involved in little programs, and they have their disabilities, but they know they are loved. And when the testimony from one of the leaders of the house said, "What have you done to this woman? She's totally changed." And the pastor said, "She has read every one of Dr. Stevens' doctrine booklets. She has read every booklet, and with the Bible, you know, the booklets are about the Bible, and she's studying them. She's read every one of those booklets, and it has transformed her life." Isn't that beautiful? With a disability, whatever it is. And these folks are some on medications, or maybe many of them, and so on. But I just want to make a point here. You and I have an amazing privilege of learning Christ. Learning Christ, what a joy. Ephesians 4:20, you have not so learned Christ. We are learning Christ. How? By the new nature. When I come and I listen and I worship by faith, this is when we meet God. When I'm just steady, keeping at it, by faith, this is where we meet God. Many hours I've just read the Bible. To be honest, sometimes I don't even know what I'm reading. My study habits and skills are not that sharp. But I said yesterday at the farmer's market to some people from the library, I said, "I got to talk to you there. They have a little library." I said, "There was a time in school I never read. I didn't like reading. I never read anything, just what I had to do to get through school. But I didn't really get into it. I didn't like it. I wasn't the best student. But when I received Christ, I started to read. And I started to read a lot of stuff. And my heart was stirred. And I started to read, not for reading's sake, but because I felt God was speaking to me. And I started to read the Bible, and I started to, you know, enjoy it. And I would read for hours and hours, and then maybe a little bit, but just be waiting to the end of the day when I could get home so I could read some more. Amazing. And I am saying that to glorify God. The new birth means that you have a capacity. You didn't have it before. Look at that list again. Go back to it. The descriptions continue. Their throat is an open tomb. You could think of opening up a tomb and the smell that could come out of it and the sense of death. And some people's throats are like that. Their tongues, they practice deceit. They live in lies. And unfortunately, we see that too in our country, in our government, by people we should respect and honor. But we must realize that there are people that have a sin nature and they are drawn to other things. They are drawn to their own way. They are drawn to their own methodology, cheating and lying and so on. And we understand that because we also are sinners. And it says, 14, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, this is a part hard to believe, that people are eager to kill. But I see it too. They're eager to shed blood. They're eager to get revenge. They're eager to hurt other people. They're eager. It's a gut reaction. You hurt me, I'll kill you. I will kill you. You say, no, we're in a civilized society. We are good people. No. I understand what you're saying. I wish I have good intent, good wishes for our society. But let's go deeper. There are things that are done that should never happen. There is a murder that happens. It should never happen. Where did it come from? Oh, it came from our economy, our neighborhood, our background, our upbringing. No, where did it come from? From the heart of man. It came from our sin nature. This is the description of our sin nature. What's needed in America is the gospel. The message for our biggest problem is our sin. That's what's the answer for our sin? Only God could give us the answer for our sin. Only God could change my heart and give me a new spirit and a new heart. Only God can also keep me on the road. Also lead me on the road of love and forgiveness. Who could do that? God. Could you forgive your mother? Could you forgive your father? Could you forgive your boss? Could you forgive a relative? Could you forgive your past? Could you forgive yourself? No, I can't. It's hard. I can't. I met many people like that. I cannot. I cannot forgive myself. That's the sin nature of man. This is not the gospel. The gospel of Christ, the greatest message in the world, the greatest impact, a changed heart, changed life, changed mind, new heart, new words, new purpose, glorify God. And to walk with God and to know God, that's our great gift. That's why Christ came. If God so loved the world this way and he gave us his son, then what I want to know, what does it mean? He gave me his son. What does it mean? I need it on a Monday and a Tuesday, and when I drive on the beltway and I do my business, and I want to know, what does it mean that he gave me his son? Wow. It's a new nature, isn't it? New heart. New life. Grace of God. This gospel would not be a gospel unless it was God saying, It's 100% me forgiving you. It's all me. It's not you. It's me. I forgive you. I save you. You can't save yourself. I save you. I forgive you. I love you. I will never stop loving you. I save you. I forgive you. I give you my grace. This is the message. You are accepted in me. I elected you, predestinated you. I put you in my son. You are secure like Noah in the ship, in the ark. So we are in the Son of God. How? By the grace of God. In a moment, an instant. By him, he did it. He saved us. He forgave us. He did it. Now, I thought I did my best. If I could do my best, and then he does his thing, I do my best, and I'll get there. No. You can't even start off. You're phony. You're an empty suit. You're a liar. You're a deceitful person. Your motive isn't right. You don't know God. You don't seek him. And you have no idea. You have no understanding of this. If a person is seeking God, that's the grace of God to draw him. No one can come to me except the Father draw him. John 6:44. You cannot find God on your own. You are a sinner. You might say you're doing it, and you may be doing it. I mean, you're doing what you're doing in a religion or something, and that's a good intention and so on. But as a sinner, you cannot. You are maybe seeking a religion or a good conscience, but you don't know God, you don't understand God, and you don't seek God. And then it says at the end there, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Let's finish with this. There are people, they need to hear that phrase sometime in your conversation. The reason I don't do that is because I fear God. People need to hear that phrase. They never hear it. That fear of God. Do you fear God? You do. My new nature, I have the respect for and honor. I appreciate it. I cultivate it. I think about it. I want to fear God. Just like I go down the train tracks and a train is coming and I stand off to the side with a lot of respect. Because being hit by a train would not feel very good. I have a lot of respect for electricity and medicine. And anybody here have any respect for COVID-19? Tell me about it. Talk to me. Do you have respect for 95 and you're on the highway as a pedestrian? Do you respect the high travel and the car? Yes, you do. Well, what about God, who's going to call every word into accountability in Matthew 12? Who says he made us for his glory and it's been hijacked and we don't live for his glory, we live for ourselves. This is about me, God. Well, you stand over there. That's okay. Okay, you're over there. This is about me. I'm living my life my way for my purpose, my desires, my ambitions, my appetites. I got my life to live. This is about me. It's the sinner. And where does it end up? Miserable. It says that right there. Miserable. I'm going to read it. I do try to finish here. It says, destruction and misery are in their ways. A lot of it. The way of peace they have not known. They fight. They fight when there's no fight. They make a fight. Not fun. Okay. So, was this edifying? Yes. We didn't get to the good part. Yes, we did. Let's finish up here. I think that if we could have an audience and tell it like it is, I say, dear people, neighbors and friends and fellow countrymen, dear precious human race, every one of us, we are missing something. We are lost. We are in trouble. We have produced a world filled with knowledge and technology and many things that are going on that are beyond us. Dear people, come to Jesus Christ. Fear God and seek Him. You will find Him. Know Him. His peace will come into your heart. You will love Him and learn of Him. And your life will have so much value. Please come as you are. Amen. Here this morning and you'd like Jesus in your life, come to Jesus today. Please, you've heard this message. Put your trust in Him. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need You. I ask You into my heart. Save me. Save me, I pray. If you said the prayer, you are saved. As far as we understand, based on the word of God, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. You admit your sin. You admit it. You understand it in some way. And you say, I receive You, Jesus, save me. And He does. And He does. And now walk by faith in Him. In His name, amen.